an all-sufficient Saviour. 1904. Christ's words and acts while he was on this earth were as revelation of divine truth. They gave evidence that he had come direct from the most excellent glory. But the glory itself was concealed. His actions spoke louder than words, inspiring faith in hearts that had been dead in trespasses and sins. It was his work to reveal the Father, and in the doing of this work he went steadily forward, constantly performing deeds of mercy and compassion, his energy never abating, never flagging. It pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Colossians 1, verse 19. As the Father hath given me commandment, so I do, he declared. John 14, verse 31. This commandment have I received of my Father. John 10, verse 18. In all that I do, I consult the will and fulfill the purposes of the eternal God. The words that I speak, the acts that I perform, are the fulfillment of the wishes and purposes of God. They are the manifestation of his great love for human beings. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3, verse 16. Christ took human nature upon himself to show us what God desires us to be. Those who through faith are united with him will learn that righteousness does indeed exalt nations and individuals. Day by day, year by year, a lack of obedience and reverence for God is being proved to be the ruin of nations. In obedience to God's law, there is life. In conformity to his requirements, there is a transforming power that brings peace and goodwill among men. Christ acted out the will of his Father, giving himself without reserve to the work of reclaiming the fallen race. He attached men to himself, that he might work through them for the salvation of sinners. The whole agency of evil is working to oppose God. The spirit that led to the apostasy in heaven is in unceasing activity in all parts of the world. Satan flatters his subjects with the assurance that their forces will be sure to conquer. Before the first coming of Christ, it seemed as if the world were wholly given into the control of the enemy. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, to redeem them which were under the law, that they might receive the adoption of sons. Galatians 4, verse 4 and 5. All heaven was interested in this great event. At the appointed time, the instructor appeared. Who was he? The Son of God himself, the eternal Word. He came to give the world an evidence of the love of God by dying for the fallen race. He gathered to his own pure, sinless soul the penalty resting upon the sinful race and offered himself as a sacrifice. Thus was revealed the love of God, and thus was revealed also the immutability of God's law. Not a jot or a tittle of this law could be changed to meet man in his fallen condition. But sinners were not left without hope to die in transgression. A ransom was found. Christ became their substitute and surety. Upon him were laid the iniquities of us all. Isaiah 53, verse 6. Those who receive him as their Saviour are freely granted pardon and become members of the royal family. The grace of God, which bringeth salvation, hath appeared unto all men. Titus 2, verse 11. This grace teaches us not to use God's blessings for selfish pleasure, but to impart the divine knowledge to those who do not realize their danger and their responsibility. Seek most earnestly to show them their danger. Thus you will use your knowledge to a purpose, in harmony with the will of your Redeemer. The soul is to be cleansed from all self-indulgence, all pride, all vanity. Consecrate the powers of your whole being to the service of God, denying ungodliness and worldly lust. Stand firm in defense of the pure, holy principles of right. Obey the words of the great teacher. Let your will be conformed to His will. Refuse to be led away by the temptations of the enemy. Cherish constantly a sense of thanksgiving and gratitude. Praise God by being patient, tender, thoughtful, anxious to help others. Work in Christ's lines, and thus demonstrate the genuineness of your love for Him. It means everything to the believer to realize and improve the privileges that are his. God's workers are to be faithful minutemen.
Those who accept Christ as their Redeemer will work earnestly for the salvation of those whom He has redeemed with His blood. The sacrifice of Christ has revealed the value of the human soul, and Christians will reveal a deep, unselfish interest in those who are perishing in sin. Of whatever crime one may have been guilty, do not, for Christ's sake, show a readiness to make their guilt appear in the worst light. Show pity and sympathy for them, for to save them, Christ paid the price of His own blood. Let those who have opportunity to speak to such a one direct his attention to Christ, the friend of sinners. Let their words be few and well chosen, and let them reveal the loving kindness of the Savior. It is never too late for Christ to hear words of repentance, never too late for Him to speak words of sympathy. When Christ was crucified, it was with a thief on either side of Him. Upon one of these thieves pressed the conviction that there is a God to fear, a future to cause him to tremble. All sin-polluted as he was, his life history was about to close. "And we indeed justly," he moaned, "for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss." Luke 23, verse 41. He called to mind all he had heard of Jesus, how he had healed the sick and pardoned sin. He had heard the words of those who believed in Jesus and followed him weeping. He had seen and read the title above the Savior's head. He had heard the passers-by repeat it, some with grieved, quivering lips, others with jesting and mockery. The Holy Spirit illuminated his mind, and little by little the chain of evidence was joined together. In Jesus, bruised, mocked, and hanging upon the cross, he saw the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Hope mingled with anguish in his soul as the repentant, dying soul cast himself upon the Savior. "Lord, remember me," he cried, "when thou comest into thy kingdom." Verse 42. Quickly the answer came. Soft and melodious the tone, full of love, compassion, and power, the words. "Verily I say unto thee today, thou shalt be with me in paradise." Verse 43. Shall not the compassion that Christ revealed, even in his dying agony, lead us to deal as he would deal with those who are brought into trying places? Let every Christian represent Christ by speaking words of sympathy and compassion to those who are tempted and tried. Oh, how many who profess to be Christians have not the spirit of the meek and lowly Savior! Oh, how many forget their own defects of character and forget, too, that God gave His only begotten Son to die a death of shame and agony that sinners might be pardoned. He has pledged Himself to save all who repent and turn to Him. Those who place their confidence in the merits of the Lamb of God will gain eternal life.